Blog Talk Radio.
Truth.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtains.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. Secret societies, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone. Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate,
and more. All in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
Welcome to the Prophecy Zone today. My name is Phil Armstrong. This is June 13th, 2010, and we are going to be talking about various subjects, including Bible prophecy, because that's what we talk about on this show. And also, I'm going to get into somewhat our condition spiritually in these last days. How should we, as believers, approach these last days? Well, there are a lot of people approaching the last days with unawareness, naiveness. They're not looking at what is going on, and they're not watching and praying. Now, you can watch and pray for various reasons. That is true. If Grandma Betty's sick, you watch her condition, you watch her circumstances for as far as being able to pay medical bills or being able to get down the stairs correctly, her spiritual condition. You care about those things, so you watch them and you pray. Then there's other situations where, on a global scale, or a community scale, or a state scale, you pray for your fellow man. Then you pray for your preachers, and you watch and pray the circumstances of your church, because that's very important. But we have an unaware society, a society that has no idea the things that are going to take place in the next couple of months. They have no idea. God has warned people time and time again that we were in the end times. So now He is cleaning up shop and getting people spiritually ready. And people are being encouraged to work out their salvation. That means when their salvation is bottled up, it is to be, the cork is supposed to come off and the salvation is supposed to come out, including love. Love, hope, and charity, or faith, excuse me. Love, hope, and faith. And the most important one is love. So that is to come out. We are to be a light in a dark world. A lot of people who are claiming to be Christians who go to church on Sundays and do nothing else are in trouble, and they do not know it. We are to get closer to God. We are to ask for that relationship with God to be stronger. And if we step to God, He will step closer to us. You say, well, God's making, you got to make the first move. No, it's God has already made the first move. Matter of fact, He's been moving since you were born. He's been moving since the foundation of the earth. But we have to move towards him. We're free agents. We're free will agents. We can sign with the devil, which is everything you do besides God, or you can sign with God by giving your heart to him. Our hearts are to be willed to God. That's how we are saved. But what we are so involved in situations today that we are placing everything as idols. Situations can be an idol. See, a lot of people think, well, that's a car or a computer or a girlfriend or a sports celebrity or a politician can be an idol. You know, Britney Spears' idol. You know, something that you put your hope in. But even the oil spill could be an idol, just idol of interest. Anything that pulls you away from God. But there are situations in society that keep people away from God, and they don't know it's an idol or it's a situation. Which can be an idol. If you are having bill problems, or if you have financial problems, that situation can whatever gets your focus. That is why in Luke, Jesus said in Luke 21 that we should not be letting the cares of this life overtake us. It said, I'm going to go ahead and read Luke 21, verse 34. It says, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart be charged or overcharged with surfacing, with drunkenness, and the cares of this life." Now, let's stop there. A lot of people look at the part where it says surfacing and drunkenness. Surfacing means to indulge one's appetites excessively. No believer is beyond the temptation to fall into sin. And that's what Corinthians 10:12 actually says. And we go there in a minute. But where it says the cares of this life. The cares of this life is anything that will get your attention off of the true aim, off of the race that God has set before us. That race is to be finished by the one who is running the race. And it is very important that we do run this race. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Connecting the dots and showing you why we are more vulnerable than ever.
Greetings, fellow Americans. This is David Robertson, inviting you to come be a part of an American Warning Radio, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Central.
You've seen the pieces. Now, come see the bigger picture, an American Warning Radio, with your host, David Robertson, on this and many other networks that value liberty.
All they're getting is mainstream media stuff. That's all they're getting, including Fox News.
The American Warning Program with David Robertson, just a great show. All kidding aside, the numbers are really starting to go up on that program, and I think once people realize that that's on now live Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on this very station, you're going to be tuning in a lot more. That guy makes a lot of sense, and he's really good at what he does.
Warning. America. Warning. America's habit forming. Status habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Get more information at anamericanwarning.com. That's anamericanwarning.com.
Prophecies on Blog Talk Radio.
Because he's about the prophecy.
When is the end of days?
Soon.
We are in the last days.
The Bible lays out our future, and host Phil Armstrong examines what the Scripture tells of His coming every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on the Prophecy Zone.
What is the New World Order?
The people who are talking about the New World Order, Bible prophecy, may be in danger.
What do you need to be rapture ready?
I believe that the Bible interprets the Bible, and we have to stick with the Bible.
How much time is left?
See more at theprophecyzone.com and youtube.com/prophecyzone. Hear more here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on The Prophecy Zone.
Who is the Antichrist? I believe the Antichrist will not be known until the tribulation period starts.
This is The Prophecy Zone.
Okay, we're back. We'll go ahead and continue. The Bible talks about at verse 36 of Luke 21. It says, "Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be able found worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." But let's go back to 34. It says, it's warning us that it says, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfacing and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares." The Bible calls it a thief in the night, the time that will be coming in the last days. That is a quick snatching away. The word Rapunzel means to snatch out. When the Bible is talking about the rapture of the church, instead of saying rapture, it uses the word to snatch out. When we snatch out quickly, that is by surprise. That is to rescue. That means to rescue. You're rescuing somebody from danger ahead. So, what people tend to do these days is in the book of and Matthew 24, it talks about in the days of Noah. And Luke, it talks about in the days of Lot. And it also says, do not forget Lot's wife. And Lot's wife, we know what happened to her. She looked back and she started to reminisce and play old music and rekindle old flames and looking unto the world instead of looking unto Jesus. And Lot probably told her that Abraham had something in store for them to, and he didn't probably have no idea that they were probably going to destroy it. Abraham might have told him, but it's not in the Bible. But I'm pretty sure if Lot knew, I can see him now, just like some of the current day family members and friends telling their relatives that the end times is here. And they're not listening. They're too busy trying to get jobs for themselves or too busy trying to go to the biggest universities. Now, a lot of people probably wonder, well, what's wrong with those things? Well, business as usual, there's nothing wrong with them. We have to survive. But the thing is, going back to what's your focus? What do you put your focus on? Are you willing to focus on those things and forget God? God is not asking you that you can't be a doctor, a lawyer, or a president of the United States, or a actress, or a football player, and all that other stuff. But God knows what comes with the territory. He says, "What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul?" God knows. He knows us because He created us. He understands us. Matter of fact, He came down and lived among us, that we should, that He should be able to learn the sufferings to obedience to the Father, like we should be obedient to Him. We are being stripped from our basic simplicity of Christianity, and it's being replaced by totalitarian Christianity, and this has been happening for years. Galatians chapter 1, Paul is talking about of another gospel. there are many versions of gospels going around here today. And the funny thing is there is not funny actually, but the serious thing is that it is a legit gospel, and then are there four what you call counterfeit gospels. Now the dollar bill, and I'm gonna get back to what I was talking about as far as cares of this life and focus and all this other stuff, but a dollar bill has been counterfeited through history since it's been in its existence. The way you find out if a counterfeiter was counterfeiting a dollar bill is you don't study the counterfeits, you study the true dollar bill. So the true dollar bill will be examined and checked and double checked and seeing how it was made and seeing how it looks, and people will just study that dollar bill. So then they will be able to tell the counterfeits. So in the last days, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. People will creep into the church and give false gospel. They will creep in and say that we are all gods, or lead by your words, or, you know, that, you know, we are, be the best you can be, you know, be the best person you can be. The Bible never told us to be the best person that you can be, because Jesus said, I can do all things through Christ. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Bible never preaches self-edification, because God assumes, if you notice, when he's saying love your wife, is, you know, he's assuming that we automatically love ourselves. Now, he don't even use that analogy. He's saying, okay, what kind of person? He even asked the hypothetical question, what kind of person does not cherish their own selves? So he never promoted us to love ourselves. Never. Because he's acknowledging the fact that God, see, people think God dumb. The creator of all things, not only the earth, but the whole universe, they think he's stupid. They think he can't. He don't know how we think. He made us. So, with that being said, God understands us better than we understand ourselves. Now, as far as the cares of this life and the world that we are living in, we have to be careful that we do not put anybody. That's why Jesus said, if we do not hate our mother, father, sister, brother, whatever, daughter, son, whatever, on my, as far as I am concerned, you're not, you can't follow me. But he was not saying literally to hate them. He was just saying prioritize. Whatever your focus is, folks, whatever you has you, whatever has your focus, that is what you are. You say, that's not necessarily true. I'm a doctor and I'm a Christian. No, you cannot leave God out. God has to be the number one focus, and then your doctor, what you're going to do. Now, God didn't say you thou should not be a doctor. Thou should not be a lawyer. Thou should not be a Grammy Award-winning actress. Of course, if you're a Grammy Award-winning actress, you probably are being forced to hang out with some of those people down there that's not really saved in the first place. I ain't talking about trophy carrying God people down there saying, oh, thank you, I'd like to thank God for my, and then coming on stage with your things hanging out. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about a genuine born-again Christian. And chances are you're not going to see one on that stage. You got to do what Kirk Cameron did. Or some of these people who are Christian, true Christians, you probably won't see them no more. You know, now if it's a singer or something like that, and then she say, I can see. But I have a hard time believing, because to me, a lot, I've been watching a lot of these gospel singers and you know, all these entertainers, and a lot of them are being compromised. Because in the gospel realm, there's even glamour. There's all the same. You still get the same package deal, because if you're a famous gospel singer, you still get all the herks and perks of the of Hollywood. Now, CeCe Winans, I don't know. I mean, CeCe Winans seems like the one of the people. I don't know. I don't know her whole life, but she seems like the one who sort of stays intact. But when I ain't gonna even get on that part. But other than that, I'm pretty sure there is some other singers. I probably can sit here and name a few of them that's probably still got their act together. Now, there's a lot of contemporary singers, and there's a lot of gospel singers that have their act still intact. They have not focused on anything else but God. Because you have to put God first, folks. If you got a kid that's having problems, the best thing to do is give them honey sometime rather than salt, because we always like to give them salt, and I just learned that. But we have to keep our focus on God. We have to put God first. I got a 2-year-old, and I love him with all my heart, mind, and soul. And I got a 6-month, and I got a 7-year-old. I love these kids with all my heart, mind, you know. But at the same time, I have to put God first. I learned that just over the couple of months. I'll make a horrible father if I start putting my flesh first. You know, there's no compromise. There's no willing and dealing. I ain't talking about having your daughter pounce off with the attitude, or your son, you know, disrespect you. I'm not saying that. But we need to know who to put first, because your daughter and your son would turn you in to the doggone police, and your whole family, and your little one would lie on you and all this other stuff. Trust me. If you do not put these people in these little people in the right perspective, you're going to get your feelings hurt later on. And that goes for me and whoever out there. So we have to put God first, because God is a jealous God, even among your kids. That's why he says, if you don't love, if you don't hate your mother, father, sister, and I'm literally asking you to hate anybody, but he said prioritize your family members, prioritize the people around you, because the Bible says that the enemy is going to be in your very household. And I can preach the very thing that's in the Bible and people will get mad, because they don't open up the Bible. They expect their preacher to tell them on Sunday, please, fill me up, fill my tank up so I can go through the week. You can't go through the week without just listening to your pastor. You can't. Because then you're going to go home. It's like, that's what Jesus said. He said, you can't live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out. He said, eat all that. Every word that proceedeth. I'm talking to myself. Eat all of it. Say, even the Old Testament, when a baby's been thrown off a building. Yeah, eat all of it. I'm not saying apply that to your life. Please don't. Of course, there is some people who have applied it. It's called abortion. We won't go there. At this ministry, I'm not here to bash people side to head, so I get around that one. But you got enough time. In a couple months, you probably are going to be bashed upside the head. And you're probably going to lose your mind. And I say next couple of months, it could be the next 12 months. It could be 15 months. It could be the next 3 months. But you're going to lose your mind. You say, what are you talking about? First of all, you put your care in your kids, for instance, and I love my 2-year-old. But if I'm not saved and my 2-year-old vanishes, there's going to be some mamas in the corner of a house singing lullabies because their child is under the age of accountability. And those very people, because God is probably going around right now sending people out, or some form of way of fashion, somebody's getting talked to about God. Somebody's being dealt with about God. The same very parent that's put their focus on everything else other than God and knew it because their mama dragged them to church. And I mean the word drag, harpersal, just the same word for rapture, just snatch. You better get on up in here, come on to church, girl. People always trying to force their kid to go to church. When you get about 13, 14 years old, they're not asking you to go to church. I mean, I think sooner or later you need to just like back off so they can make their own decisions. Because, I was listening to J. Vernon McGee, and he's talking about the age of accountability. And he said it's pretty old. It might be older. And I beg to differ. But with sorrow, I beg to differ, because these little trifling kids out here today, you know, next door neighbor, the next door neighbor's kid was making a lot of noise. And I went over there to tell his roommate, she's an older lady too, that he was making noise. And he was like, what do you want her for? And I said, okay, where's your mama? What do you want her for? I mean, do you know a kid would never say that unless it was a bad kid 20, 30 years ago? They wouldn't say that kind of stuff. But they do. I'm not going to sit here and say I don't know why. I know why. They bad. Like I said, there's going to be some people wishing that they would have listened to some relatives and were listening to some coworkers, because there's a lot. I bet you a lot that there are people who are warning their neighbor, their cousin, their mother, that things are going to turn on its axis. This world's going to turn on its axis. And people better listen up. Because if they don't listen up, they're going to get their feelings hurt. And some people are going to commit suicide. Because I'm talking about, I got 1 6-year-old, I got 2-year-old. So I'm not talking at you, I'm talking with you, that some people are going to literally commit suicide. Not thinking that, well, my relatives told me that they were going to be in heaven. Why would you commit suicide unless the baby was killed? And then at that rate, the baby's probably still in heaven, even if it's 1982 and your kid got killed. You should be at peace, but it's hard. I understand that. Trust me, I didn't think about my kid dying, getting harmed. I just sorrow up both of them, all three of them. The youngest one, I keep saying the youngest one. Of course, the older one, so I'm just saying the youngest one. But the older ones can make their own decisions. And to me, I believe that just the attitude of some of the kids these days, including mine, I would really change my parenting style in these last days. I would not put all my marbles in the one basket. I would make sure that God is my focus, and therefore I won't even worry about. You know, I'll just make sure my kids are saved the best I can. You know, make sure they follow in the way they should go. And that's all you can do, really, in these last days, and pray for them. But anyway, let's go back to what we're focusing on, is that we need to put our focus on God. We need to hit that focus that He is our provider. And if economic situations prohibit and go bad, and you know that God is going to provide, and He always has, of course we're going to be worrying. We always do. That's human nature. But what kind of volume of worrying you're going to do, that's going to be speculative on your part. We are in the last days. I do not hold back on that. I believe that we are in the last months of time. I know a lot of people don't want to hear that. Matter of fact, just like the Bible said, people don't want to hear it because they love this world. And people don't want to understand. I don't know if it's because they don't want to meet Jesus and that He's going to judge them, because the judgment begins at the house of the Lord. It's not like you lose your salvation. People are willing to compromise their own salvation for a moment of time, a moment of sin, a moment of just seeing my son graduate from high school, just stupid stuff. I mean, I would rather make sure my kids are right with God and I'm right with God than for my kid to go off and go to university of, you know, which probably have a hard time getting a job later on anyway. I mean, I'm not thinking of things negative. I'm thinking of things positive. Yeah, going to college, but at the same time, what's the chance of your son coming back saved? Unless he was strongly, your daughter, unless they were strongly brought up in a Christian household. I'm not talking about where they see mama doing this and they see daddy doing this. And it's, I mean, kids are smart. They understand a true Christian parent and a phony Christian parent. Even with myself, you know, a couple months, me and my wife had a rocky time where I would just, and I think it's back from the garden or something, but it's something that you have to worry about. Are you putting the right examples to your kids? And there's a difference. There's a difference. Do you lose influence? Because if you salt, if you eat salt, and you leave salt in the cabinet, now they say salt can last a long time, but certain times it can get stale. Now, if you put some stale salt on some food, it's going to taste stale. Because the salt loses flavor. So if you, for instance, holler at your wife, you know, which God is delivering me from and still delivering me from, because we don't holler as much. But do you lose testimony that way? Or if you sit up there and all you do nothing Christian, you just do everything everybody else is doing, because they could tell your parent, they could tell their parents, what's the difference between my parent and this lesbian parent down the street? I mean, are they watching the same thing? Are they listening to the same thing? Are they going to the same places? Is my mom getting up and going to a club? That's what they're going to ask. I mean, and my mom, what music my mom listen? These kids are not stupid. They appear to be, but they know what they're doing, because they can judge you quicker than they can judge, because they would judge you. They would tell you what you're doing, and that's how adults are. Adults can say, well, why are you doing that? Why are you eating this? Or why are you eating that? And they turn out they'd be sneaking in the corner eating. So I mean, I'm just using that as an illustration, but that's how people are. I mean, that's how people are. I was in the military. That's how almost every other person is. I mean, they'll tell you why you're doing this or why you're doing that, and they'll be doing it. Or they might not be doing that exact thing, but they're doing something else. You need, in these last days, support. We need support, or else we're not going to be saved. When you probably say, what do you mean by that? Well, I guarantee you, if you've been in a car wreck and you survived that car wreck, there was somebody praying for you. If you survive a fatal car wreck, looks like you should have been dead, then somebody's praying for you. And that is a something to look at. But in these last days, God is sending people across the land to preach the gospel, including on Blog Talk Radio. He is sending people out right now to preach the final, to warn people of the final time preceding his second coming. And a lot of people don't know that he's going to come back. Matter of fact, if you come to Spokane right now, you think this is the beautifulest day in the world. But I believe that a few days before John Kennedy got shot, it was probably sunny somewhere in the United States. 5 days before 9/11, actually on 9/11, it was sunny that day. 5 days before Pearl Harbor, it was probably sunny somewhere in the United States. And all you hear in the news is about the oil spill, the economy, Von der Sloop, and killing girls. He's probably a serial killer anyway. Gary Coleman. And then there's a few series on the news that you might hear once in a while. But the thing is, before a tornado comes, there's always a calmness. Before a hurricane comes, there's always a calmness. And people have said that in their illustration of the tornado and their experience with the tornado and their testimony with the tornado is that everything was cool until they started hearing a freight train, and all of a sudden the roof came off, and that was it. And that's the way it's going to be in the last days. People will be eating and drinking and giving in marriage, and to Noah went into the ark and shut the door. Folks, you're going to see something in the next month, the next couple of weeks. You're going to see something that will illustrate the fact that we are in the last days. Now, for me to guess what it is, I know terrorist attacks are going to be on the schedule. The Bilderbergers meeting gave their approval for a strike on Iran. Also, Saudi Arabia gave Israel the okay for to use the airspace. It says Saudi Arabia gives Israel clear skies to attack Iran nuclear facilities. Now, the flotilla that Iran's supposed to send will be in a few weeks. And now I'm speculating that the time of Tumas, am I pronouncing it right, is the first 3 weeks of Tumas is a trying time for Israel, including the 9th of Av, which will fall on July 19th. I'll be surprised if nothing hasn't happened by then. Now, the flotilla that Iran is sending will be probably with naval escort. But let me read this June 11, 2010 article. And this article is from F-Town. Anyway, it says Saudi Arabia has conducted tests to stand down its air defense. Oh, wow. Okay. So they even have a sense enough to stand down. So I guess they can stand up their defenses. One time I read an article, the same article came a couple of days ago, and they were saying that Saudi Arabia, they didn't want to accidentally think that Israel was an enemy aircraft and go shoot it down, kind of like we should have did in 9/11. So some of y'all need to go on YouTube and study 9/11, study the truth about it. At least Saudi Arabia have enough sense to stand up if an enemy aircraft is coming through. To enable Israel jets to make a bomb raid on Iran's nuclear facilities, the Times can reveal. And that was originally from the Time magazine. In the week, the U.S. Security Council defense source in the Gulf says that the prime minister of Saudi Arabia has agreed to allow Israel to use a narrow corridor of its airspace in the north of the country to shorten the distance from the bombing run on Iran. And of course, Israel has been planning and practicing that run for a couple of months now. The perfect storm is brewing in the Middle East. We need to stay abreast about that because it's coming quickly, and all it seems like we have on TV on the mainstream is a bunch of garbage talking about Vandersloot killing a girl in a hotel room. I mean, how many stories can be on the news for real? We got killings all over the world, and they just pick a special one and just run with it. Okay, but he is kind of strange, though. I meant that. It says the next flotilla, a freedom flotilla, will be much bigger than the first one. And then there's one even coming from Lebanon. So you know they challenge. Somebody's trying to kickstart World War III because they're trying to go past the blockade. So it's one coming from Iran and it's one coming from Lebanon. So they're challenging this thing, and pretty soon I believe that's where it's going to come from. At first I just thought, man, maybe it's just an accident and something else is going to happen. But this is what I'm thinking, starting to think that Israel is wanting this, and Iran is wanting this, and Turkey is probably behind it, and Iran is probably behind these flotillas. The governments themselves. So we know something is brewing in the Middle East. The Antichrist is going to is getting ready to take his position. He has no idea probably, but I'm pretty sure the devil's already picked him out a long time ago. Devil always had Antichrist. Matter of fact, the Bible illustrates that somebody who denies the Father and the Son. So you might be walking next to an Antichrist in the store. But there will be a the Antichrist coming soon. And he will be coming to a world near you. And the peace initiatives will be probably signed before the Antichrist shows up. So what I believe he does is he comes to confirm the covenant spoken of in Daniel chapter 9. He confirms to strengthen, to add force to add power to. So what I believe is going to happen in the next couple of weeks is that there will be terror attacks. And there will also be the flotilla being passed, and I believe that war will start on the front when Iran's navy is sitting there, and the war will start. I don't believe Iran and Turkey is going to be injured as much as Syria and Hezbollah. I think Israel will knock them out of play. Damascus and Isaiah 17 will take effect. And somehow or another, all that stuff will be brought to a peace, probably around August sometime, or probably even quicker. And Obama will, and the European leaders will sign a peace covenant with no time on it. It'll be an interim agreement. And the first part of September, Russia will invade Israel. So it has to give enough time to tear down any walls or tear down so that you can be still with rocks and rubble sitting there. And it has to give Israel some time to look complacent. And maybe they might look complacent right away because they start taking things down quickly. Syria will not have a leader probably by then. And the globalists will put into power someone from Syria. And they might even have their eye on the guy right now, whoever the Antichrist is. I don't believe in Lord Maitreya and all this other stuff. I do believe that he, Benjamin Krim, which is a New Age leader, will put his focus on someone other than the person. I don't think it's nobody in a robe. The false prophet spoken of in Revelations chapter 13 is the second beast. And he's a religious leader. So therefore, the Antichrist will be a political leader who will later become a religious figure. Because remember, he tries to shake off the Catholic Church. Or he tries to shake off the World Church, which will be World Church. And let me speak quickly about the World Church. The World Church is an amalgamation of churches. And when the rapture happens, the true rapture... There's only one rapture. What happened? What will transpire is he will call up those who have put him first, and people get angry with that. I heard somebody say, "Well, he's going to call up the good and the faithful." Well, the good and faithful. Well, didn't Jesus ask who was good? None is good except God. So the person he's calling up is the person who put Jesus first, and Jesus was actually their everything. All they talked about, slept about, ate about. I mean, of course, you can do things. I'm not saying you can't be in the army, you can't be a football player, you can't study your plays, you can't study your shotgun, you can't be a nurse, you know, your doctor, or you know, and do those things good. And do those things right and still be saying, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you put God, and he gave you the strength to be a good doctor or a lawyer or, you know, a housewife, whatever you are. Excuse me. So he makes us who we are. We can't go out and teach anybody to be a better person. That's not what God is going to do. It's nowhere in the Bible that says that you can go out and teach somebody, like Joel Osteen says, I can help you to be a better you. Well, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. He says, I can do all, Paul says, I can do all things that Christ who strengthens me. Now you can go out and tell somebody how to have perfect peace when they keep God's commandments. And I'm not talking about the Ten Commandments. I'm talking about when we do what God says do in the New Testament just by itself. If you just had the New Testament, you can live a righteous life and you don't have to worry about the Ten Commandments, but you have to worry about the commands that God gave you. Because if you don't, if you're not following God 100%, and I'll keep going back to this, but you have to know that if you got a new house building in Jesus Christ, let's say Jesus is coming back and this September and you're building a house. And your whole complete focus is on that house, but you're saved though. Would you be raptured? Well, it was probably a disconnect between you and God. I'm just being honest. You probably won't. Now let's take another person who is building a house. Oh, that house looks so nice, but the lady's just praising the Lord and thanking Jesus and going to call her sisters. Yes, I'm like to pray. I'm just praising the Lord, and God is first. Or how about having a baby? You just had a baby, and the baby's so cute, and you holding him, and the rapture is like 2 months away. You don't know it though, and you have no idea. But you're just living your life, and you're praising God for this baby, and wanting to get it dedicated. And you're reading your Bible and stuff when the baby's sleeping. You're praising God. You acknowledge He's there, and He is there, and He's loving you. You're saved. But what if you just, the baby's God? And I'm not trying to be funny, because that baby's going to be taken off pretty soon and going to heaven. That baby's going to fly away in the twinkle of an eye, and you're not going to see that baby, and you're going to go crazy. You say, that's sad for you to say it like that. If y'all a mom out there, y'all need to really think about this. Don't go off and commit suicide. I mean, don't go off in the corner of a house and talk to yourself, because that's what's going to happen, folks. People are going to be literally doing that. The suicide rates are going to go up tremendously because we put our kids first, or we put our husband first, or our wife first. God told us we'd be a perfect husband. Not a perfect husband. You're still going to make mistakes. You're going to be a good husband, a good wife, a good father if you put God first and the Holy Spirit is directing you. Not if I just want to be a good parent. Because, you know, there's a lot of good parents that's not even going to church. There's a lot of good parents that's not even saved, folks. Good parents. That's not what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is we need to put our direction and our focus on Christ. Our careers. If we're off kilter, God has to put us back on focus. God has to put us back on focus, folks, because there are people out there who are trying to soup up a car and put some rims on it and all this other stuff. I mean, that's fine and dandy, but make sure you're going to heaven when you die. There are people out there trying to start a music career or trying to start a show or all this other stuff. Just make sure you're born again. I'm not talking about because you say, here's God. I mean, God loves, God is this, God is that, and I'm carrying God. Well, praise God. Well, and then, you know, next thing you know, you're telling somebody, good luck. I mean, you got to make sure you're right with God. You got to make sure Jesus is first. Because when that stuff starts to pop off, and it probably will, this summer, going into the fall, it's going to probably pop off. I haven't been so sure of my life before. It's going, when this stuff happens, people are going to be shooken out of their foundation. They're going to be shooken out of their foundation and just put their focus on how we're going to fix this thing real quick. And you ain't going to be able to, you know what? God's going to fix it, so you won't even figure that one out. You're not even going to be, you're going to be like, oh my gosh. What's going on? You're either going to say, well, this must be the end times, you know? I'm Betty, me, we was talking about that at work. Let's go ahead and pray, you know, go in my room, shut the door and pray that I could be found worthy to escape these things. Or are you just going to say, oh, you know what, business as usual, and turn off the TV, enough of that bad news. Of course, you've been watching doggone local news where people dying every 5 seconds. It behooves me how family members would tell another family member, you were always watching them Christian shows, but then the other family member is like really, really, really patient and don't really care what the other person's watching. I mean, of course, if it's your kids, you're going to care. you know, I believe that's probably how it is all across the world. It's like, even in the army, it's probably like, well, you always read that Bible, man. Why are you always reading that Bible? And the Navy, Air Force, Marine, wherever you go, somebody's going to challenge you about your salvation. Because the Bible says they think it's strange that you don't follow them. Think what strange, folks? I mean, I could say some just straight up things that come right out the Bible, and people look at me like I'm crazy and just no, that's not what it is. And tell me what it don't say or what it says. And when's the last time you picked up the Bible again? I mean, I never asked that question because I feel bad about asking the question because I know how much of a challenge it is to read the Bible. But you want to ask it sometime. When's the last time you? So you're going to sit there and you're going to tell me how or what you think the Bible's saying. And the thing is, man, I believe the sad thing about the life as I'm born again, as God shows me the sadness of life. It's like when I was listening to J. Vernon McGee, he's talking about the age of accountability and how high it is. And I'm like, sure, right, okay. But I was still hoping in my heart that the age of accountability is that far off. But I'm thinking, why should you even worry about teaching your kid the way they should go if the age of accountability was high? I mean, shouldn't they figure it out sooner or later? No, they're not going to figure it out. You have to raise your kids in the way they should go. You have to teach your kids that in order to go to heaven, you have to be saved. So if I'm sitting here teaching my kids that and they're 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 years old, I'm thinking the age of accountability probably stops depending on the person. So that way it probably brings it back down to about, what, 11, 12, 13, 14? But I'm hoping that it's 18, 19, 20, 20, and I don't think it's going that high. I just don't. I mean, God would not mention in 2 Timothy 3 how bad and depraved the last days are and how people are disrespectful to parents and boastful, proud, heady-minded. I mean, there's people deviling in sex at 11 years old. And I'm praying that even that child who does that is under the age of accountability. I hope so. I'm praying. You know, I say, why you would pray that when you go around preaching that, you know, people need to. Well, trust me, that's just human nature. You don't want a child going to hell. Think about this, folks. But then what will be a stumbling block is for you to think that the age of accountability is higher, so I won't tell my kid about God. Wow. That is sad. So I hate to go to heaven and find out that the age of accountability is much lower than we thought. But I'm praying that it's high. And you can tell I'm really on this subject because I keep going back and forth on saying the same thing over and over again. Man, I didn't really have, I had a guest to come on today. And she had something that she had to take care of, which is important. So I just decided to just go ahead and go on without her, without any guests. And that's a nervous thing because you're like, oh, what am I gonna do? But Susan is awesome. And after yesterday's show, I'm like, oh man, can I go on? Can I do it with? She's pretty darn good. I mean, I enjoy both my guests, and that's what we're gonna do. Is we're gonna have guests on from now on, and there's gonna be some times where I'm just gonna just tell you guys what's going on, and I'm probably gonna bring it to you guys. We've been having a lot of people listen to the show. I mean, I'm not even gonna worry about national. I don't even care anymore. I mean, if God totally, I mean, if I could have had just, you know, a few hundred thousand people to listen to my shows on World Harvest Radio, I'd be happy. But right now, we need to focus in on who we can focus in on and get the word out. And, you know, and I'm pretty sure you guys are going to understand what I'm talking about. When you listen to these archives, you're going to say, well, how did you know that these were the last days when the birds were singing and the sun was out? Well, it's if you delve into it, you understand. It's like Jesus in the parables. They said, "Well, Master, why do you always go and talk in parables?" He says that people who want to see may see, and hear may hear. Bible prophecy is only to those who want to see. The signs of the time is only to those who want to see. If you want to go play, you might find out later the hard way that we are in the end times. This is what you need to do. Before we go off, we're going to say this. The Bible says that love, in 1 John 2:15, that anyone who loves the world, let me find it right quick. It says that love not the world or the things in the world. If anybody loves the world, now I think God, you know, when people hear stuff like this, I think the Bible talks about people look in the mirror and immediately walk away and forget what they look like. So they don't really read the Bible for themselves. So when God says love not the world or the things in the world, they'll just brush it off. And it's not all that important. I mean, it's not really that important. So God asking us to love not the world and the things in the world, it's not really that important. Huh? You know what I mean? You know what I mean, dude? So it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, what does he mean? Does he mean that you sit up here watching NFL football all day long and stepping on my own toes? Does it mean that you listen to old music that you used to have a long time ago and rekindle flames? Or does it mean you go forward and fight the good fight of faith? Does it mean that you you go forth and you work out your salvation with fear and trembling? I'm not talking about work. You work out what God is working in you. Work it out. Does it mean that you go off and get your girlfriend and forget God? Does it mean that we sit here and we watch our DVR all day long? He says, I mean, people think you got to go out to a club or go out to the circus and take your kids there all day and be a soccer mom or go to a club or shoot up crack to figure out that love in the world, neither the things in the world. You can be an old lady sitting at the old folks' homes crocheting. And people don't understand that we all need a savior. We all need someone. We all need someone to get to God. And the only person who Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me, folks. But after that, you must offer your body as a living sacrifice. Careers aren't that important when it comes to Jesus. The disciples, and we're not doing the same thing the disciples are doing, that did 2,000 years ago. We're probably not saved, folks. Remember when the dude that was the demon possessed legion was and after Jesus freed him, he said, "Can I follow you?" He said, "No, go and tell your people." But I don't know the time that God gave for this individual's life, but I believe that person probably will be in heaven. But see, God has saved us for a purpose. And that purpose is to live in Christ. That purpose is to have Christ pick up your cross daily and follow him. That purpose is to have Jesus the all in all in your life. Not to put him on the side, not to have him as a good luck charm, not to try to go off and become an American Idol singer. And hopefully I can go ahead and play some gospel music when I win. No, it's to serve God now. It's to serve God now. So folks, in the next couple of months, we're going to be having some times where it's going to challenge everybody who's claiming to be saved, and he's going to separate the wheat from the tares. The Bible says judgment should begin in the house of the Lord first, so in the building itself. If you're sitting there on a Sunday, well, I don't think the rapture is going to be on a Sunday. So how do you know? Because I believe it's timed. Within 48 hours, it's timed. No man knows the day and hour. There's different time zones. But it is timed event. It is a timed event. So, folks, God bless y'all. And y'all have a wonderful day. Jimmy Dean. Man, please. Jimmy Dean died, you guys. Jimmy Dean. Oh, my God. He was 81. Come on, Momo. Leave me alone. Yeah, tell me nothing. Nobody else is listening to that? Gosh, dude. You're kidding me, right? Alrighty, then. That's weird, man, because it wasn't...